when you get triggered, it's called the refractory period, up until you can bring yourself back into who you really are, or like self-regulate yourself back. And if you don't, and the quicker you can bring it back, the higher your emotional intelligence is.
I've come to realize that one of the biggest challenges that most teams have is they have no structure. If you have a team and you don't have an idea of what a high performance team should look like, then how could you ever aspire to it? Like, it makes no sense. It's like everyone has a different blueprint, but yet you want to be this high performing team. You'll never get there.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the Expansive Podcast. This is John Sane, one half of the podcast. I'm an author, a speaker, and a strategist. I'm always joined by my ever handsome podcast co-host down from the south of Johannesburg. Oh my God, I nearly said you're still in Johannesburg. Down in the south of Cape Town, Eric, how is it going down there in Somerset West, and how are you doing?
Hey, brother man. Always good to be with you. Yeah, no, phenomenal. I mean, we're supposed to have winter at this point, but I'm not seeing it at all. It's a bit chilly today, but everyone's been warning me about this, like, Cape Town winter that's supposed to be so hectic with, like, rain and wind and whatever. I haven't seen any of that, which is a pity because I really like that kind of weather. But, yeah, otherwise, all good. What's been happening for you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, also, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm in Cape Town at the moment, and I'm just planning my trip to Italy and Switzerland, which I'm really excited about. But also, it's been warm. I mean, look, it's been sunny and beautiful. The sunset have been beautiful, but it's been icy, icy cold. I mean, there has been that sort of icy wind in the air. But, you know, that's the thing about people when they think about Cape Town. The first thing they go to is, oh, those winters. I'm like, what? Is that the only thing you can focus on when you think about Cape Town? You know about the beauty, the food, the people, the creativity, the nature. There's a million things, but people are like, no. It's the winter. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even pay that much attention to people to speak about those things. Eric, anything new about teams? I see you've been very busy working around teams and doing work around the country. Tell us a little bit about that and how that's going.
She's dude. I've been absolutely loving it. So, like, I've been helping teams with a team operating system. So, a while ago, I've come to realize that one of the biggest challenges that most teams have is they have no structure. And if you have a team and you don't have an idea of what a high performance team should look like, as in each member on the team has the same idea of what that kind of a team looks like, then how could you ever aspire to it? Like, it makes no sense. It's like everyone has a different blueprint, but yet you want to be this high performing team.
Sure.
You never get there. And so I designed this little thing I call the team progression system, which is essentially saying, let's get on the same page, like literally on the same page, about things like accountability and feedback, which I think is the 80-20 of teams. Like, those are the things that you do that give you a disproportionate return in terms of your team development. And then let's make sure that by the time we leave a session, that we all know what it means to be a high-performing team. And we've created what that looks like. So I've been doing a ton of that, and I'm absolutely loving it. Like, it's keeping me fired up. I'm iterating on it. It's phenomenal.
I can see.
Yeah.
I can see. Yeah, you found your groove again. I also think that, you know, when we think about marriages and families, they also don't have a blueprint of what the perfect family looks like and what they're aiming at.
You know?
I think that it's the same thing. It's an operating system that we can have for individuals, for couples. You know, I am friends with this guy. He's a COO of a very big company, an operations officer. And he's been with his girlfriend for 9 years now. And I said to him, like, what's your secret? You know, he says, every year we start off with a new contract where we commit to each other what we need to be doing for this year. So, for example, the deal breakers for me is my boyfriend has to be home 4 nights a week and having dinner with the family. And if it's not, that's a deal breaker, you know? So I know what my girlfriend's expecting of me. And for me, it's a deal breaker if she does X, Y, and Z, right? So, but also I expect you to drop the kids off twice a month or twice a week, or whatever the case may be. So I think those operating systems are just so important to bring some sort of clarity to teams and in organizations these days. I mean, it's all about the teams, right?
But I think you nailed it on the head, is that, you know, it actually comes down to the relationships. And human beings are complex. Human beings in networks are even more complex.
Yeah.
And so if we have some sort of guiding system that says to us, well, this is how we are supposed to operate with each other, this is how we collaborate, you'll get the most out of your team, you know? So I really think it's important that I actually want to trademark this, because I created this like one pager, which I want to trademark, but Team operating system has been used, so I'm kind of playing around, you know me, playing around with different names around what I could call it.
I was just waiting for you to finish so I could mock you. For the listeners who don't know this about Eric, he's continuously developing new programs, branding it, naming it, booking websites for it, and then 3 weeks later, he's onto the new one, and he's got a new name. And a new
this system. One is sticking. This one is sticking.
Oh, yeah, yes. I hear that every week, Eric. That's right. No worries. You keep going. You keep going.
Listen, shifting gears. Congrats on... So we've been documenting the journey for the book. And I think the last time we spoke, you were already an exclusive books bestseller, but I don't think we had the Nielsen's list out yet, right?
Yes. Yeah, Nielsen's 2 weeks ago was number 6.
Yes.
Last week was number 4. So we're driving for a number 1.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's number 5 in the bag.
Number 5 on the bestseller list. And you know, it's so funny. I often, if people message me, I don't know, I must have said this on the podcast. People message me. Yeah, I did say this on the podcast. They're like, yeah, just also help us. You know, we also want to get onto the bestseller list. I'm like, yeah, good luck. Good luck. I suppose watching me, it seems easy, right? It's like, Johnson, another one. It's kind of expected. But people don't realize the amount of work, energy, effort, people, plans.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it's just, it's in depth, what goes on behind getting it onto the bestseller list. And besides writing a flipping book on its own, forget about the launch of it. I mean, it's like, this is really hard work. It's not easy. It's not easy. Yeah. Very happy. Very happy.
Amazing, dude. Well done. Yeah.
Thank you. I did get some, the publisher I wanted to represent me in the UK said no. And it's pretty much the same answer that every publisher gives me internationally is that, well, you're not here.
Yeah.
So we only want to represent people that are actually on the ground. So I was a little bit upset. In fact, let me just say I was upset for a whole 20 seconds because what I've learned is when you get triggered, it's called the refractory period. Up until you can bring yourself back into who you really are or like self-regulate yourself back. And if you don't, and the quicker you can bring it back, the higher your emotional intelligence is. The longer you stay in the refractory period, you develop a mood and that mood becomes a temperament and that temperament becomes a personality. So people have got these personalities based on trigger points that they didn't heal and didn't take themselves and self-regulate themselves back to who they are. And so this was a wonderful exercise for me because I got the email to say, congratulations, you're number 4, but the publisher in the UK said no. And I was like, yay. Okay. I'm back. Okay. This is just not the route I need to take. I'll take another route into an international publishing house. So, but you know, Eric, I'm a bit perplexed and I can't lie. Are we going to be writing books? I mean, I don't understand why we'd need to write a book when GPT-3 is available. Why? I don't get it. But I saw Ian Thomas, a very well-known South African publisher, author who lives in New York. He's been quoted by Barack Obama and Oprah and a lot of people, a very, very powerful writer. He has brought out his latest book and on it, he says, Ian Thomas written in conjunction with GPT-3.
Wow.
And so he's now brought out a book that he's written together with AI.
But,
and I was like, whoa,
yeah.
That's a good angle.
That is a good angle. But also, like we said before, GPT-3 is in its infancy. So at this stage, in conjunction with, it's probably still a good idea.
Yeah.
3 years, 4 years down the line, like...
One year.
Yeah.
About 4 years. Because it's exponential, the growth. You know what I mean?
Written by GPT-3, face of John Sarnay on the cover. What is your contribution?
No, text, my face.
Text, keyword text my entered face. By John Sarnay.
Yes, exactly. Write me a book about.
Yeah.
So look, I'm a little bit perplexed. I don't know what that's going to look like. And it just seems a little bit unclear. But for the moment, I'm celebrating my ability to come back to my emotional state of calmness when I got given some bad news. So that was the sort of like the refractory period. I'm very, very sensitive around this refractory period is how quickly can I snap back to having a state of sort of calmness and creativity rather than being stuck in that sort of drama and that trigger point.
On that, I also just want to celebrate something else, which is that, and I want to mention this in the podcast for a very specific reason. So I'm flying to Joburg. And I'm going through this ritual that authors have, which is that you go and check where your book is in the store, right? And literally, like, I have zero expectation because my book has been on the bestseller list and then it dropped off over time. So I have zero expectation, but I want to go see anyway. And I walk in and I see that Who Do We Become and Dangerous is sitting on the number 9 spot at the exclusive books.
Joint number 9.
And I'm like, what? Like, and so I posted about this. And then I started getting emails from people or messages saying, did you do this? And I'm like, I didn't do this.
Yeah, it's
not, yeah. Everyone thought I grabbed the two books and put them together on the shelf. I didn't do that. So I just wanted to come clean on that. But I was like, and it's weird because I've actually thought about that. I thought when your book was coming out, I thought how cool would it be if the two books were on the bestseller list at the same time, just maybe in random spots. And then they're on the same bestseller lists at the same spots at the same time. It was, I loved that moment. Yeah. It was really cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. I saw your posts and stuff and it was fantastic. I'm so happy that we shared that number 9 spot, whoever did that. But you did say in one of the posts that you think the guys at the store listen to the podcast. So they obviously know about us. Yeah,
yeah,
they
could
know
be
about the podcast. And yeah,
I mean, what they should do is when the Expansive book comes out, is there should be an entire corner of the bookstore just dedicated to the Expansive with all your books, Mighty books, Expansive book.
Yes.
We'll make sure that happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We should drive towards that. But let's talk about what we want to talk about today, because I think it's a really interesting topic. We've only got about 10 minutes left now. But, you know, Eric and I are always wanting to explore new topics. And sometimes we know exactly what we want to talk about on the podcast. And other times we don't. We're just like, you know, and just off air, Eric starts telling me about the fact that he calculated how much money he'd spent on himself, solo, Eric on his own. And it was a staggering number. I mean, really staggering number. And he has no idea where the money went or how it got spent or what happened. And I just thought it was such a poignant point because even in my own head, I've also been wondering, you know, we do well. I mean, we live well. We earn well. Sometimes we earn exceptionally well. But most of the time we do well. We've got comfortable lives. But the ability to spend the money to who knows where, how quickly is mind-boggling because the ability for us to Uber Eats, to take a lot, to, you know, just pressing buttons on your phone and then going somewhere and then tapping, it's taken the idea of taking actual notes out of your wallet, counting the notes and passing them over has gone from that to a credit card, from a credit card to a tap, and soon the tap will become your eye. So it's like that process of spending has become so seamless, so seamless. And these bastards out there have done this on purpose. The more I'm talking about it, I'm starting to realize we have been duped. We have been duped. And so now I can just tap and move. And I was like, $2,000, $1,000, $4,000, $2,000. Like, oh my God, I just spent so much money. So yeah, I thought it's a poignant topic because petrol and oil is expensive, electricity is expensive, and we just seem to be increasing in costs all around us, and it's becoming tighter in most sort of places. Now, Eric and I are very lucky because, you know, he's only got him and his wife and his two dogs. I'm alone, literally, so I just don't have anybody that I look after except myself. And still, we're having money that's going places that we don't understand. I can't even think about having kids. And I mean, I see a restaurant, I see a couple, like a family at a restaurant, and it's like three kids and their kids, kids, friends. And I'm like, oh my God, that bill is going to be, that bill's like a few thousand rand bill. Like, no, 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 no. I didn't want to think about that bill. So yeah, it's a funny thing when we talk about money, you know, it's always like a private topic, but I think it's nice to open up about it and talk about it because we share these experiences, you know, where you at there, Eric?
Yeah. You know, so, I guess for the past 2 months, I've been feeling that, like, I look at my business and I'm like, okay, like things are going well in the business, but then I look at my accounts and I'm like, well, but nothing's happening. Like, it's like stagnant to like reversing. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And so, so yesterday I just said to Danica, like, I need to like figure out what's happening here. And I went and I downloaded statements across all my accounts and I sat down and I like went through them line by line item. I'm like, wow, Mr. D, Uber Eats, Mr. D, Checker 60. We're like, exactly to your point. And then I get to the end of like doing this analysis. I'm like blown away, by the amount of money I spent in July. And I'm like, this, like, it doesn't even make sense. And I was thinking, you know, I feel like I'm always so self-aware and so conscious about how I show up in the world and the things that I do. And I realized that with my money, I'm the furthest thing from it. Like, exactly to what you're saying. It's like, you tap over here, you swipe over there, and the money comes off, but it's like, it's just numbers on a screen. It doesn't feel tangible to you. And so it's easy to just keep spending and keep spending and keep spending. And then at some point you start realizing that your spending is actually a bit out of control. And that's like, that's the realization I had yesterday, is that it's almost like I'm in competition to see if I can outspend my income. It's like, what's happening here?
What is happening?
So yeah, it was just, I guess I had this big realization of, I want to be conscious in my life. This is like what we always speak about, is how do we become more conscious in our relationships? You were just doing family constellations again, right? Like, it's part of being more conscious of your patterns. So like, this is such a big theme for us in being self-aware human beings, but yet it comes to something like money, and all of a sudden you find yourself really perpetuating these subconscious patterns, or not really paying attention to the way that you spend your money. And I'm like, it's so weird.
Look, it's so funny, because, you know, when I had a money coach, I said to her, what do people with money, like with lots of money, how do they go about doing what they do? You know, do they count? Do they watch their account all the time? Do some people always budget and others don't? And so I was like, what do people with money do? And she said, everybody's different. There is no right or wrong way. It is your way. And I was speaking to Richard Mulholland. We had breakfast the other day, and he was saying to me, he doesn't count turnover. He counts conversions. So it's like, okay, when there's a sales conversion, I want to know how many leads came and how many did we convert. That's the only thing I want to count. I don't want to count turnover.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really smart, because I also don't like to count turnover, because I don't even, like, I kind of know how much money we made last month. I mean, but I don't really know. I just want to know that I'm able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And am I able to pay the service providers I need to make me better and faster? Can I bring the right trainers in? Can I eat the right food? So I think there's also a lot to be said of becoming conscious of what sort of spender are you comfortable being? And also, why do you make money? Like, are you making money to save? Are you, then if you are, then every time $10,000 comes into your account, to put $2,000 somewhere, like, and then be comfortable in spending the $8,000, right? So it's really just about, for me, and you said it right at the beginning of this, the teamwork is having a cohesive, collaborative outcome of how you want to live, right? So your relationship with money and my relationship with money, and I think, like, everybody's relationship with money, firstly, is secretive, which is so weird, because, I mean, all of us have money. And so what is it that you want to do with money? How do you want to go spend it? How do you see yourself as successful? And so if I think about myself, is I've got backup money, which I lost a lot of it at crypto, but anyway, I've got other backup money, which is
you want to speak about
half
that?
The backup money.
Should we all the safe space for you around the?
So I lost a lot of half my backup money on crypto, but anyway, I'm confident it'll come back. I'm just ignoring it at the moment. So I've got some backup money, and then if I don't have to touch that backup money, then everything I'm making because I want to live a life that I want to live. And to be honest with you, yesterday I was going to take a bath, and there was Epsom salts on the side of the bath, and I poured a little bit in, but I actually wanted all of it in, and I poured all of it in, and I laughed to myself, and I laughed to myself because that was luxurious for me. Look, that's like that's $1. It's not a lot, but it's, am I giving myself the ability to describe luxury? One, two, practice on that luxury, so that when I go somewhere and I want to have a green juice with extra ginger, because that's what they always do, and that's an extra 20 rand, is, am I going to do that? Because that's what I prioritize. And so I think it's also important to devise the relationship we have with money, to have some cohesive understanding of how do I see myself being successful with money and what does it actually look like? Does that help?
Yeah, for sure. Tell me, so obviously, like, I mean, I know this about you already, but how do you think in terms of, and I know you've answered it, but I want to be a bit more explicit. Do you budget? Because I'm thinking about, like, from your restaurant days, right? Like, I'm sure budgeting is really important when you're running restaurants.
Yes.
And so I'm trying to understand, like, was there a time where you were like a very strict budgeter and then you became like, I don't want to be a budgeter? Or has it always been that you don't want
to?
I'll tell
you what it is for me. No, it's because I come from a single mom family and we could never make it to the end of the month. And every time we budgeted, we couldn't make it. And I remember sitting at the end of my bed with my mom, her bed, and she would have, I still remember the handwriting. I remember where she used to draw it with a pencil. And we used to get to the end of the month and we're minus 300 Rand, 500 Rand, 800 Rand. And my mom would be in tears. And I promised myself, I'll never be in that situation again. And I don't, when I think of a budget, I feel sick. But that's my upbringing. That's why I'm saying to you, everybody's got their own way of doing it. So is budgeting right? I don't know. For some people it is. For other people it isn't, right? And so the idea that you must budget and you must be frugal and you must save, yes, for some people, and other people, no.
Yeah.
So that just depends. I think you have to become, make peace with your relationship with money. This is the way I deal with money.
I think you have to become aware of that relationship first because people are just so unaware of it. And then,
of course,
and then you have to heal or fix it, and then become at peace with it, right?
Of course,
yeah,
of course. But I think awareness is first. Yes, of course.
And so I have a budget now. So after yesterday's session, I sat down and I looked at all these tools because, like, there are all these amazing personal finance tools available to you. When you go on Discovery Bank, for example, like when you pull a statement from them. They break it down. I don't know if you've seen this, but they break it down for you into all the different categories of spending. So, like, they'll show you spend X amount of flights, X amount of food, X amount on whatever, like hotel stays.
Who does this?
A Discovery.
Discovery, yes.
Yeah, in the app. And they do it beautifully. Yes. So well broken down.
Yeah.
So FNB doesn't do that, at least not that I could find. But there's an app called 22/7, which is many years old, that does the same thing. So I wanted to just, to, like, so I've set up a budget with that. Not with the idea of being constrained by my budget, but with the idea that, like, I can have an understanding of where my money went. So I set it up yesterday just so that when I can get to the end of August, so obviously I'll be a lot more conscious of my spending throughout August. I've also, you know what the problem is, especially, I think it comes back to, like, your shock and horror, like, realization earlier that, like, spending money has become so easy that you don't even notice it's going out of your account. We accumulate all these small little amounts that's going off from, like, different tools that you subscribe and use. So, like, I was going through my list yesterday. I'm like, I pay for Canva, Zapier, ConvertKit, LinkedIn, Facebook ads, like, and I looked at some of them, like, I haven't used this tool in, like, months. It's like costing me $400 a month. So that's like 4,000 Rand in 10 months that you could have saved, but it's just coming off the back and you don't even notice it because it's like, it's a small amount that you don't pay attention to.
Yeah.
But those small amounts all add up. And so that was part of the process, actually. So I was going through it and I was like, oh, well, actually, I haven't used this in a while. It was like cleaning house. It was like simplifying a lot of what's happening in my life. And so then I set up the budget with the idea that I can get to the end of the month, I can go through it again, and I can just start becoming more aware of where what is sitting.
Yeah,
and I'm actually quite looking forward to it. Sometimes, like, we play this game when we're driving. Is like, we want to see who can get the lowest in terms of liters per 100 kilometers in the car. Like, when you know, we can see that little dial.
But you have a Porsche.
I know.
That goes against having a Porsche, bro.
It's sometimes it's fun. I don't know why. it's like bragging rights. And the Porsche doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
It works in the Tucson, but. I want to kind of apply the same gamification mindset this month to my finances. And I just want to go, like, okay, where can I, like, just be a bit more conscious? And I'm like you. I like my luxuries. I like my spending.
Yeah.
I grew up with a mom who also had a very, very strict budget. I remember, for example, us going to Spur and, like, you're like, your limit there is one cool drink, per lunch.
Yeah.
Not a second, just one. So choose wisely.
Yeah.
And since then, I've always, by the way, my budgets have served my mom very well over the long run. But I've also never been a budget guy. I've always liked to just spend and not think about it. And I want to be able to afford and not think about it.
Yeah.
But I've realized that pattern perhaps isn't serving me as well as I thought it did.
Well, look, I think also the thing is, let's just try and make a lot more money.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think that's another part. Let's end off with, let's just make a lot more money, be excited, at ease, and in love with money and the energy of money. Look for ways to add value in the best way possible. And, you know, like be abundant in the way that you share it and you donate it as well. And so that's also important. You know, I also good when I give money to dog shelters. Mm. It's really important for me. You know, I love that. It's a big part of who I am, and I want to continuously support that. So I also want to make money for that. You know, I think often if we put a good cause to it, we make money easier.
Mm.
You know, like even at the family constellation yesterday, there was a woman there that had lost her husband, and she was really taking a lot of strain. And the process became, do it for your kids. Mm. And she immediately, there was a different energy around it. Right. Mm. So, like, do this for other people. It's almost like, okay, you know, I can focus differently. You know, I got more energy to want to give that. And so, yeah, look, I think what we should do is, carry on.
No, I was going to say, very often, like, when you read these finance bloggers, you know, many of them will say, like, oh, like, you know, that daily cappuccino that you're having is costing you an arm and a leg.
No, man.
It's not about that. Like, it's like, it gets kind of stupid at some point, because you can either spend all your time trying to save costs, or you can spend that same amount of time trying to build something new. What all I'm advocating here for today, and I think what I'm trying to convey through my lesson, is if we are going to be conscious in other aspects of our lives, the way that we train, the food that we eat, the relationships we have, how we act in those relationships, then I just think we need to bring that same level of consciousness to our money, because I do believe that's also respectful towards money.
I agree.
Effort that you've put into earning that money. I don't feel like I've been respecting my money. Like, I feel like I'm working hard to earn it, and I'm being mindless in spending it. And I don't think that is honoring the process at all.
Yeah, that's very wise words. And thank you so much for sharing that. I agree. And I think more consciousness, more awareness to every aspect of our lives always helps.
Mm.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's Expansive Podcast, a podcast that's focused on making our business lives, personal lives more expansive in every way possible. If you haven't already liked or shared a comment with a 5-star rating, please go ahead and do so as soon as you've gotten off this podcast. And if you'd like to share this podcast with somebody you think might want to hear it, please do share it with them. Eric and I are always available to do talks individually or as a team to your organization. I have actually, Eric, I don't know if you know this, but I've already started putting a team, a price list together for small businesses. So I've actually started to work on a much smaller budget for small businesses. And I've already got a few small businesses, and I just think it's fair, because I think it's nice to give back to the small businesses as well.
Mm.
So if you have a small business, get hold of us as well. We are trying to add as much value, bring as much optimism and clarity for where we're going as the future evolves at a hyper pace towards us. Catch us on theexpansive.com or Eric or mine social media. And we look forward to having you again next week. Ciao.
Goodbye.